Mayfield is now in session. Judge Johnson, Chief Judge Siegel, Judge Ford, Honorable Matthew Johnson presiding.
Please be seated.
Recording in progress.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today's three-judge panel of the court consists of Chief Judge Susan Siegel to my right, Judge Renee Werke to my left, and myself. My name is Matt Johnson. For the sake of the audio record, today's date is June 8, 2023. This panel of the court has three cases set for oral argument today. We are grateful to the district court and its staff for providing us with a courtroom to use and for the assistance of staff in conducting the oral argument. We always enjoy and appreciate the opportunity to travel to other cities in the state for arguments, but it does require some assistance, so we thank the district court for providing that to us today. With that, I will call the first case on today's calendar. It's cases number two, consolidated cases, A22-1811 and A22-1812, Bruce Wamet and Lee Hansen versus Winona County. I believe counsel are familiar with our procedures. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal argument, and appellant's counsel will have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal. We have a time clock right here, which I think is pretty conspicuous, and it's got a loud beep when time is up. Don't be alarmed. Counsel for appellant, you may approach the lectern, and please introduce yourself and your clients, and then you may begin.
Counsel, may it please the court. Good morning. My name is Thomas Braun. I'm here on behalf of appellants Bruce Wilmette and Lee Hansen. We are before the court on a veterans preference case this morning stemming from my client's employment with Winona County. Since 1907, Minnesota has given protection to honorably discharged veterans from unwarranted removal from public employment. And that, unfortunately, is what happened in this case. This matter stems from the closing and remodeling of the Winona County Jail. This is a process that had been in place for several years. The county knew that they had to replace its facility because it was outdated, was not meeting standards set by the Minnesota Department of Corrections. So they went into this process knowing ultimately that they were going to have to downsize while the construction of the jail was underway and then restaff once the construction of the jail was finished. So they had 13 employees at the time of this planning process. They knew that 7 employees would have to be terminated under its decision to downsize, and 6 would remain. So they were forced with a decision right from the get-go, how are we going to downsize? And they had 2 options. Most employers, knowing that they need to get rid of 7 employees, would terminate those 7 employees and move on with the 6 employees that they decided to keep on as continued staff. Winona County, though, had a problem. 2 of the employees that they desired to not bring back or not continue with their employment were veterans and were entitled to veterans preference under the statute. So Winona County engaged in a scheme where all 13 employees were laid off or terminated, and then 6 employees were hired back under a different job description.
Mr. Braun, could you, so the positions that existed before the personnel decision and the positions that existed after when they were occupied by 6 people, would you consider them to be the same position or different positions, and if so, why?
I think functionally, Your Honor, the positions were the same. The only distinction is that the temporary shift commander position, which was created by virtue of the nature of this scheme, required that every employee be a supervisor. So essentially, you have supervisors supervising other supervisors.
I mean, obviously, your argument is a shift commander is a subterfuge requiring the same responsibilities as a detention deputy. That's the thrust of your argument, right? And that's where you're saying foul play or that there's subterfuge.
Correct.
So in connection with that, it's your burden to demonstrate, correct, your burden to demonstrate that these positions are essentially the same. I find there's differences in terms of the responsibilities and the fact that the two veterans did not have the supervisory experience. Can you tell me why they would have lent themselves as a detention deputy to this other classification?
Right. So the record very clearly states that my clients were not interested in becoming supervisors, and they did not have supervisory obligations under their current or their previous job descriptions being a detention deputy. The scheme required that everyone be a supervisor so that the Winona County could retain individuals, the six individuals that they desired, who were supervisors, who wanted supervisory authority. So to get rid of all the detention deputies, essentially have no one who had...
But if there wasn't a need for them because there was no long-term jail facility, if there's no need for a supervisory deputy, why would that be a scheme?
Well, it's interesting.
I mean, if there's no job, there's no job.
Right. But there were six jobs that were needed. And the county chose to pay their supervisors more than the detention deputies because they wanted what they called, and the record supports this, top-tier employees. They
wanted. Wait, I thought, and maybe you could, it wasn't really clear, but the Department of Corrections requires that somebody be on duty at all times who has full authority, with supervisory authority. So talk about that.
Yeah.
And could the detention deputies, if they'd retained that classification, if that could have satisfied the DOC rules?
Your Honor, you're correct. The DOC requires that if there's one individual in place on shift, that individual be qualified to run the entire facility. And to that regard, there's no distinction between a temporary shift commander or a detention deputy. A detention deputy, despite not having supervisory authority over other detention deputies, that's really the distinction here.
Is there something in the record that says that, or is there some interpretation of the DOC rules that says that would have been fine? And if so, where should we look?
Look to the testimony of the jail administrator who made that acknowledgement during the veterans preference hearing that both temporary shift commanders and detention deputies could run the facility. The only distinction really between the two is that the temporary shift commander has authority over other jailers, right? Other jail staff. And if there's only one individual who's working, then supervisory powers over other employees are not necessary. So the appellants assert to this court that it's a distinction really without a difference.
So, I mean, I think what you're saying is that the county's reasons for setting up six new positions, different positions, were not genuine. The county articulated some business reasons for structuring the positions in the way they did, but you're saying that those reasons are not the true reasons and not the true motive. The true motive was something different, such as to get rid of your clients. Is that your position? And is that your position?
Well, essentially, and I think that comports with the evidence that was adduced at the hearing. There was testimony that the jail administrator wanted to, quote, clean house, that they wanted top-tier employees.
But that was a disputed fact, right? And the board made a credibility determination that was not said. And so how do we, as an appellate court, have authority to interfere with that determination?
Yeah, I'm certainly not asking this court to substitute its judgment for the credibility determinations of the panel or the district court. But I would encourage the court to look at the record as a whole. And the district court, when it determined that the board decision was appropriate and that the county's determinations were appropriate, relied heavily on the jail study, the JAC report, which laid out four options for Winona County going forward, recommendations on how this transition should proceed. And essentially, what the JAC report did is it looked at the options and looked at the required FTE requirements for each option. And the options were do nothing, which required a 41.25 FTE, which would just essentially be remain the same. And I would like to note for the court that at the time the determination was made, Winona County had a 24 FTE status with respect to all of its jailers. So the do nothing would require more jailers, okay? The second option would be to have a 72-hour booking facility, and if it did so, that would require a 40-hour FTE. So the JEC report and the DOC...
But I thought that that would be it, as a 72-hour facility with, I can't remember how many, what the capacity would be, but it would be quite a bit more than six, and they were going to temporarily operate with no more than six people incarcerated at the jail, right?
Right. But it's interesting because the district court and its findings, and I highlighted this in our brief, basically said that the decision to go to a 72-hour facility was heavily impacted by the need to comply with the Department of Corrections standards requiring staff person to oversee jail and jail commanders in the absence of administrative staff. And that's nowhere in the record. That testimony, that statement from the district court is not supported by the findings of the panel. It's not supported by the JAC report. And in fact, Winona County chose to have an FTE that was lower than the recommendations of the JAC report. So you go back to this initial determination, right? We have to get rid of employees.
Wasn't there a change in circumstances after the JAC report, the issue with the HVAC and the dispatch area, which caused even more disruption than was anticipated?
I think that certainly was a change of circumstances to the extent that it affected the building project. To what extent that would affect the determination of making this distinction between temporary shift commanders and just jail staff, I think that that has no effect on that issue. The reclassification of the employees is really what is at issue here.
Well, no, here's my question for you, Mr. Braun. And as a panel, we appreciate the service Mr. Hansen and Mr. Womat have given to our country, and they were honorably discharged. But I think what hurts your case when you're talking about getting rid of them is the fact that Mr. Hansen was ultimately hired as a supervisor. So what do we do with that? I mean, that notion seems to run counter to your argument that they were just getting rid of him.
Well, initially he was hired as a supervisor, but it required him to change his job and accept supervisory position.
That mean that the positions are different?
Well, I think there's a distinction without a meaningful difference, because if you have one jail staff there, a temporary shift commander who's not actually supervising anyone, he's just simply running the jail, then those supervisory requirements are superfluous. I mean, they have no meaning because that jailer is doing the same thing as a jail staff would be doing anyway. And I think if the court looks at the Young versus City of Duluth case, I mean,
Before you go to the case law, I'd like to follow up with the issue that Judge Werke mentioned, and that is your client, Mr. Hansen, because he was rehired, he applied and was rehired for one of the existing six positions. I guess I'm struggling to see how he was wronged or how he has any type of injury that could be compensated in a veteran's preference proceeding. Could you help me understand that?
Sure. So in order for him to keep his job, he was forced to take on supervisory authority. And that is something that he did not want to do. His job description was essentially eliminated, and he was required then to supervise other jail staff. There are a lot of people.
It's not a financial injury, then. It's some sort of psychic satisfaction injury. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it's more than that, Your Honor. I think the day-to-day, to some extent, could be different if he was required to supervise other staff. There are a lot of people who don't want to be the boss, who don't want to supervise other employees.
Thought you said that there was no real supervision going on, but now you are saying there are.
With respect to Mr. Hansen's position, he never wanted to be a supervisor. He was forced to be. Now, whether or not they could have put him in a position where he was working alone and didn't have to supervise other staff, the record really doesn't support that. But I think the main distinction I'm trying to make is that he was forced to go from being just a jailer working with jail staff and the inmates to then possibly having to supervise other staff. And that was a distinction that he didn't feel comfortable with and didn't want, to have.
Was he required to accept a higher salary too?
Wasn't required, but did, certainly. But ultimately.
So I was wondering, was there a difference in his ability to select his preferred shift?
No, that's not supported by the record.
Okay. So the answer is no then.
The answer is no. What's clear, though, is that he had to accept obligations that he didn't ultimately want and had to abandon the job as a result thereof. And I think that it's meaningful because with respect to these employees' performance with Winona County, it was exemplary for the most part. I mean, at the veterans preference hearing, everyone acknowledged that they were good employees, right? So
not disputed. We see that was not disputed at all on the record.
Right. So if the county went about the other way, right, to fire 7 staff and keep 6 on and have a veterans preference hearing, they would have to show cause why they were getting rid of these individuals, and there wasn't cause to do so. So they had to come up with another scheme in order to do what it is, excuse me, they were trying to do, which is whittle the staff down to 7 and not honor the veterans preference of these 2 appellants who have honorably served and did good work at Winona County. And when you look at Young versus City of Duluth, when we talk about the elimination of a position, okay, as subterfuge for avoiding the Veterans Preference Act, there are significant similarities to what Winona County did here and the City of Duluth did in Young, which is why Young was granted mandamus and given his job back. The distinction between the 2 cases is really the reclassification of the job position. You know, Winona County is saying...
What about the fact that the judge in this case made the determination in its order that the Veteran Preference Act does not give a veteran the right to require his position of employment be continued for his benefit. It merely gives the right to be preferred over non-veterans. And obviously, your 2 clients didn't want to be supervisors. The court cites to Boyd versus Mattson. How is your situation different?
Well, I think it's different to the extent that the reclassification of their employment gave Winona County the purported justification to just eliminate everyone, wipe the slate clean. And when I say wipe the slate clean, I mean also with respect to their veterans' preference. They don't have a right to keep their job in perpetuity. The Veterans Preference Act is meant to prevent discrimination, essentially, against veterans, right? So what we have here, and if they would have laid everyone off, the county, and then hired back individuals under the same job description, they would have had to follow union protocol, which is to give seniority, to give FTE. Instead, they fired everyone, essentially firing 7 people without giving them their veterans' preference rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. You will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, you may approach the lectern. Please introduce yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
May please the court, counsel.
Would you mind moving the microphone a little bit closer? Maybe moving it up closer to your.
Make it more appropriate for a short guy.
Well, I don't know. I'm just somehow.
Voice projection.
Closer to your mouth. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Morning, judges. My name is Greg Griffiths. I'm a lawyer here in Rochester, and I'm representing Winona County in this case. And I think that we really understand the basic fundamental question here, which is quite simply stated as, is there substantial evidence in the record to support the decision of the Personnel Board of Appeals? The district court judge took a look at it, and the district court judge concluded that, yes, you know, there was substantial evidence in the record to support it.
I have kind of an odd question, but I just want to know, what happens if we disagree? What happens to these 2 veterans? I mean, tell me where it goes.
That's a really good question, and I think there's probably 2 routes. One is a remand.
But if we say there was not substantial evidence and we flip it, I mean, what would it be remanded for? We're saying that the evidence wasn't there. You don't get another bite at the apple.
Well, here's why it's challenging for me to even answer that right now is that if the Winona County Jail is under construction, and if the Winona County Jail administrators have concluded that under DOC rules we have to have shift commanders operating, that where are we going to put them?
So I've got a quick question. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish, Judge Workies.
Well, my concern is in southern Minnesota, it seems like all of the jails are, well, we don't. Trial courts don't look to fill the jail capacity. It's not that that's an effort, but, you know, many of the jails are over-supervise because they aren't filled. So right. I understand where you're going at. What would they do? I mean, well, is there a reclassification that can be within that gamut?
I mean, I can tell you what, or, I mean, I've handled a number of these veterans preference cases over the years. And what would typically happen, it's often an easier question than this. For example, the question is, was there incompetency or misconduct on behalf of the veteran? And then you can order the veteran reinstated to the position with back pay. That's the more typical scenario. But this one is unusual because it involves elimination of an entire classification. Well, really two classifications because it involves shift commanders and detention deputies. And if the classification in a situation like this doesn't exist anymore, Judge, I don't know how you fashion a remedy. Because in effect, you can order a remedy of back pay, but I don't know how you order a remedy to reinstate someone to a position that doesn't exist anymore. Now, let's assume we fast forward.
Well, except if we reversed it, we're saying it wasn't right to eliminate it in the first place, so you just reconstruct it. I mean, that, right? Or it goes back to the board.
Yeah, at that point. It's very complex. To fashion a remedy in that situation. But, of course, you know, my basic response to you is going to be we don't have to go there because there is substantial evidence in the record.
So how do you respond to the argument from appellant's counsel that the testimony of the jail administrator doesn't support this interpretation that you needed supervisors available in all shifts?
I don't think that's an accurate description of the testimony, and I also don't think it's consistent with DOC rules. If you look at DOC rules, the DOC rules require that a facility always have somebody with supervisory authority on staff. Now, if you look at the way these 72-hour hold facilities would operate, two people supervising the detention deputies, so someone in that facility all time has to have the ability to make decisions. Winona County's analysis is that means somebody with someone who wants to be a supervisor, and I think we all understand that everybody can be a supervisor. Not everyone qualifies to be a supervisor. So let's assume one of those two detention deputies has to be the person to take someone from intake. So someone has to be in with other detention deputies. Maybe they have to correspond with the transport deputy to determine where they're going to transport somebody to. So if you look at the testimony, Mr. Buswell's the description is that we always have to have somebody in there with the detainees, and it might not be two people, it might be one, who can make these tough calls. And I think the DOC rules state that there always has to be someone with that level of authority if the upper management isn't present. So I think the evidence supports the premise or the that, and if I can make one more comment, Judge, you know, I didn't argue this in the brief, but I do a lot of employment cases, and you've probably all heard this before. You know, typically the law, I'm not going to be able to cite the case, but the law says that, you know, judges and courts aren't super personnel departments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the court's job to decide whether the HR people or management made a good decision or not. The question is, did they make an illegal decision? And I would say if you look at the standard of review in these veterans preference cases, that's really the message that the Supreme Court has sent to us here, too.
Okay, then with regard to that comment, because I tend to agree with you, but then in regard to that comment, my question was going to be, why couldn't, in your brief, you have the detention deputy characteristics of class? And I read this and I think, well, why couldn't they have been reassigned to like a juvenile detention facility or assigned elsewhere within the county? Is that that's what you're saying? Don't get into this HR stuff.
Well,
the decision was made.
And I know a bit about this stuff, Judge. Part of the problem is that would violate every union contract Winona County has.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you can't move people between different union contracts. And that's why when the county put this plan in place, they did. You know, you can go on.
So my simplistic notion is what you're saying, just keep out of the HR because we don't know what's there.
That's the real rub. They didn't have the ability just to pluck people in because, you know, you have under their hiring process, you post the job, people apply. And then if you can't move people between bargaining units, and I think they've got six or eight different bargaining units. So it's just simply not that simple.
And so before the change, the supervisors and the 13 detention deputies, they were in different bargaining units?
At that time, I think the shift commanders and the detention deputies at the time, I think, were in the same bargaining unit.
I was going to ask the question, I mean, similar to Judge Werke's question, but I mean, the county has explained why it wanted to go, to put it in simple terms, from 13 to 0 to 6.
Right.
Mr. Braun suggests, why not just go from 13 minus 7 equals 6? You didn't have to lay everybody off. You could have somehow made a reduction in force of 7 people to get there. And I was going to ask you, was that an option? And if so, you know, why not do that? Because that would have had a different result, I think. It would have preserved the positions of 2 people with veterans preference protection, and probably would have other consequences as well. But could you explain why that was either not possible or not feasible for the county?
I wasn't in the room. My presumption.
You can tell us what's in the record.
You know, so the record, you know, is somewhat limited here. But what I can tell you, Judge, is that if you seniority plays a role at that point, so there is no guarantee that Mr. Hansen would have automatically retained jobs, because under the union contracts, again, it's not in the record, but seniority controls that. But I think I'm going to answer your question a different way. Is even if Winona County could have done that. My argument based on the Supreme Court standard of review is we don't get to second guess that. If there's not evidence that that decision was motivated by animus against veterans, bad faith, then it doesn't matter. Because we don't get to second guess that. And so it goes back to the credibility determination of the administrative body, and we have to give deference to that administrative body who made the call here that the decision was appropriate. Now,
though we didn't, I mean, you know, but to say we don't second guess doesn't mean we don't do any review. We do some review.
Right.
We review the record and look for substantial evidence. But to understand the county's reasons and the pros and cons is part of our analysis, I think.
I think that the
maybe, I mean, it may be that in the end we would defer it. Maybe that we review it in a way that is understanding of the employer's interests and so on, but I still think it's relevant, you know, what situations the county was facing and what its alternatives were. I think that there are different expectations in the public sector than in the private sector, and the idea that once somebody has civil service seniority, you know, they continue their employment with that expectation. They gain seniority. They have a certain benefits. They might get to choose their shift, and for example, and what the county did here kind of wiped out everybody's seniority, right? It kind of like erased the slate for everyone, and everybody went back to zero. So they rearranged some rights and privileges that had previously existed. And then everything was changed with the new scenario, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they would have had, so they were all union employees subject to a collective bargaining agreement. So they would have all had certain rights within that collective bargaining agreement. Mr. Hansen and Mr. Womet would have had the additional protections of the Veterans Preference Act. But as it was argued in the briefs, that doesn't mean that their positions can't be eliminated in good faith. And I think the place to look in the transcript, Judge, is the testimony. It's really testimony of 3 people. It's Steve Buswell, the jail administrator, Sheriff Ganrud, and Marine Holte, who at that point was the assistant administrator.
Right. But let me just go back, because, I mean, so that elimination is an exception to the statute, exception granted by case law, Supreme Court case law. But the same exception says, but it has to be a real, genuine elimination, abolishment, not, you know, a sham.
Right.
And so we have to evaluate the difference between a genuine, I think, maybe these are not the words used, but the genuine abolishment versus a sham abolishment and so on. So that's our task, I think.
Yeah, so I would give you two things to think about there, Judge. One is the question that I posed to the person of the Board of Appeals and the district court and in my brief here. Is it really credible to believe that Winona County would have schemed to create this process to eliminate 13 people's jobs to get rid of two veterans. When the testimony about those two veterans at the Veterans Preference Hearing was that they were good employees. And you know how hard it is to get and train and keep employees? Do we think that they'd get rid of these highly trained 13 detention deputies? These are not easy jobs to fill. They're a very difficult job just to get rid of two veterans. It's just the argument, it's just no credibility there that they would go to this great length to do this. And I think that even greater weight is given that argument when we recognize that they ultimately hired Mr. Hansen and in effect promoted him into a supervisory position. And the other point I would make is that we've heard reference to scheme. The word scheme has been used. But I would submit to you that there is zero evidence in this record of scheme. None. It's argument. It's conjecture. I get that. But there's not evidence of that. And what us lawyers do a lot, you're all very experienced, you know this, is that, you know, lawyers look for crumbs, and you try to gather up all the crumbs that you can to try to make a meal. And the analogy I'm using with you here is that's really what's kind of gone here. Yeah, there's some crumbs counsel has gathered up here, but he hasn't created a meal, and he hasn't generated evidence before you of bad faith or ill will or a violation of the Veterans Preference Act. And
does the Veterans Preference Act require some finding of animus? I mean, kind of like the discrimination cases?
Yeah, I think the word that's used in the case law in some is bad faith. For example, there's the Powell case that involved a county or a township truck driver, and basically there was politics in the community, and they schemed to get rid of the guy by eliminating his position. The Young case, I think, is the Luth one. There's another case involving a sheriff's department where they contracted out the police department and hired this local sheriff, and it saved money. And so the court said, yeah, that money saving, that's an economic decision. So that's my argument to you would be this was really a very complex situation Winona County was facing when this issue came up, and they adopted the plan that they thought was best for the county during the construction process. And it negatively impacted some people, sadly enough, but that doesn't mean it's a violation of the law. And so we're asking that you affirm the decision of the district court that the Personnel Board of Appeals had substantial evidence to make that decision.
Before you sit down, I have one more factual question. I have an exhibit that looks like this, a spreadsheet showing right. That four of the 13 were rehired. And so I'm just curious, so were all six positions filled? And if so, Where did the other two come from?
What you will find, Judge, is, and this is in the record, that every single one of the laid-off employees that sought reemployment, including Mr. Hansen, got reemployed.
I see that in this.
Right.
But that only fills up four of the six positions.
So the other people from outside ended up being hired to fill those positions.
But not the shift commanders. In other words, the former shift commanders were not used to fill out the staff of the temporary shift supervisors.
Any shift commander that was laid off, if they sought reemployment, they got it.
Okay, but you're not. It's unclear whether they are among the two people, the two others.
As I sit here right now, Judge, I can't answer that question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said earlier, Mr. Braun, you have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think you're hitting on the ultimate issue, which is this distinction as to why the county determined that temporary shift commanders were necessary to staff the jail. And I think you don't have to guess about that because it's in the record. The jail administrator talked about wanting top-tier employees who could do everything they needed in the jail. And so in an attempt to obtain top-tier employees, you would think that they would reach out to the employees that they deemed to be top-tier employees and say, we'd like to have you continue as a temporary shift commander.
Didn't they do that? I mean, they did. They said apply.
Well, they fired
apply, them. And we'll give you more money and a higher-level position. So how is that different? Is what they did different from what you're saying they should have done?
Well, because they fired him first, and they had to in order to not do the simple math, 13 minus 7 equals 6. by firing everyone, by laying everyone off.
How could they have moved them into a different position? I don't understand that.
Well, they could have simply, while they were still employed, offered them a position as being a temporary shift commander.
But then they'd be in a different position, correct? So how is that effectively different? Like basically they hired them all, whoever applied.
Right.
Is this a difference without meaning, I guess is all I'm asking.
Well, I think there is a significant meaning, because by terminating everyone, they avoid the seniority preferences with the union contracts. Mr. Wilmette was 16 years a detention deputy in Winona County.
But that would have happened if he'd applied and gotten the position, right? Or did the union contract provide for carryover seniority when you're in a new classification?
That I'm not aware of, Your Honor, and I don't think that's in the record. Okay. What I do know is this. By terminating everyone and then allowing individuals to apply back, you avoid the union issues, you avoid the veterans' preference issues, and then they were able to try to go for, quote, top-tier employees. However, with respect to the six employees that they retained, two came from outside the facility. So that's not, in fact, actually what they got. They lost deputies, which have significant experience in the jail, in an attempt to reclassify this job description, and that didn't come from the Department of Corrections. That's not in the GAC report. So I think that there was an effort here to identify this new job description to justify what they wanted to do, go from 13 to 6 and not have to deal with the union, not have to deal with the Veterans Preference Act. And that, unfortunately, has resulted in the termination of both of my clients. And we're before the court here because this shift commander distinction is one that's just been self-made and self-imposed by Winona County onto itself, as if it had no other choice. But it did. And jails run in a hierarchical structure, right? There are sergeants, there are captains. Essentially, under this temporary shift commander, if two individuals are working together, they're both supervisors. Who are they supervising? I mean, generally, there's a top-down structure to these facilities. And the individuals who didn't apply for the temporary shift commander position was because they didn't want to be supervisors. That's a very different job than being simply a detention deputy. So this distinction that Winona County drew was really arbitrary and resulted in some of the employees staying, but then having to hire other employees from outside the facility.
It sounds like you're arguing the county should have chosen a different structure. It should have had a system with both supervisors and detention deputies. It should have structured its org chart or its personnel in that way rather than the way it chose to structure it.
Right, because if it did, it would have maintained the positions that both appellants had, because the new construction of the jail didn't obviate the need for detention deputies. That was still there. To require everyone to be a supervisor is a distinction that Winona County made in order to make these determinations to lay off every single employee, their best employees.
So if the jail had three supervisors and three detention deputies, and if one or two supervisors go on vacation for a week, then what?
Well, I think under the DOC regulations, the detention deputies could still run the facility. I mean, it's just nonsensical to say that if you're going to give someone a promotion, give them more money, I'm going to lay you off first. I'm going to take your job away from you, make you reapply, and then maybe you're going to get it. That's just not the way the real world works. And the only reason it was done that way is to avoid the veterans' preference rights, to avoid union obligations, and to restructure this thing in a manner that allowed Winona County to wipe the slate clean and not give my clients their statutory rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. Thank you to both attorneys for your excellent arguments. The case is now submitted, and the court will issue its opinion in writing within 90 days.
Thank you.
Thank you.